This is Free Talk Live. We'll give you the toll-free call-in lines here momentarily where you can call in and join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. The us in studio tonight is Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And Chris, you have a story, hopefully pulled up in front of you, about some kind of murderous artificial intelligence.
I did bring in something like that, Daryl.
And apparently Google, in a somewhat related story that we'll get to a little bit later, Google is saying that they will not allow the United States military to use their artificial intelligence for murderous things.
Interesting. I think we're going to have a AI race. It will be yet the latest version of the arms race.
Yeah, and
that's my call.
I'm wondering if any of these artificial intelligence things will wind up being put in some of those really scary Boston Dynamics robots.
Probably.
Because I mean, those are the best videos.
And isn't Boston Dynamics owned by Google now?
Is it really?
I thought it was.
Maybe, Daryl.
It's owned by
one
of those big giant companies.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I've seen their videos and stuff like that on Facebook all the time. Every time they come out with like a more advanced robot, the thing looks creepier every time.
Exactly. Yeah. What can we do? What can we put out that will really just
freak people out?
I was incorrect. It is owned by the SoftBank Group, which is a large Japanese conglomerate that owns basically everything in the world that's not Amazon or Google.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Huh. Yeah. No, so, I was just saying that. Like, I can kind of see like the positive, like cool things about like artificial intelligence. Like how cool it would be to like have a robot, you know, around your house, like do all the things you don't want to do.
Oh, like.
But then at the same time,
Rosie.
I think of like, you know, the people that ruin it for everyone and want to use it for like war and things. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, do you really got to go and do that? But
yeah, AI in itself. I mean, the idea that we can create machines and computers that can actually do the thinking part of what we do is intriguing. It really is.
And I'm not necessarily a fan of, say, the Alexa or the Google Home or those sorts of things.
I have the Echo Dot.
But I understand that some of the programmers on those things, they're working to where it can answer like a broader range of questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can ask it like weird things too. Like you can ask it like, oh, like, where do you hide a body? It'll tell you, like, that you can.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever asked your Alexa?
I don't know. Like, you know how, like, you have friends that have them and everyone asks weird questions. And then when you get weird answers, you share the weird question with somebody else. So then you ask it. And then,
right. So
that's kind of like somebody told me you could ask it that. And I tried it. It was just something like an industrial park or something like that. It was, like,
great.
The place that you could.
Just the kind of information we need. Yeah, my issues with those are it's the spying aspect because both of those companies are in bed with the federal government. So when your voice is recorded and things you say is recorded, that becomes part of the NSA record. And I have an issue with that. But I think the devices themselves, it's a cool idea, the idea of a personal assistant.
And there have been some stories where apparently somebody asked, did you call so-and-so? And then the Alexa or Google Home interpreted that as, call so-and-so. And then there wound up being a call, and the person on the other end wound up hearing this conversation that they weren't meant to wind up hearing.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So there's some recording there, and you know, I'm not a Luddite. I don't just immediately dismiss all new technology, but I'm wary of how far we've come.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, new technology wasn't just flat out scary. But now that we know, based on the Snowden leaks and other things that have come out, that you know, people are willingly putting government spies in their homes, and I have an issue with
that. Can you believe it's already been 5 years that the Snowden revelations have been out?
Yep, that was the anniversary yesterday or today? Something like that.
I don't remember the exact date, but just thinking, oh, wait, those came out in 2013. It's 2018 now.
Yeah.
That's been 5 years.
Yeah.
So do you have your story pulled up about the murderous AI?
Well, Daryl, I had it pulled up the entire time.
Well, speaking of anniversary.
Oh, I thought you were still
never
like,
mind
booting
me.
Your computer.
Speaking of anniversary, today's 3 years that I quit smoking cigarettes. Well, I think that's a pretty good milestone, Chris.
Well,
so how much tax money have you saved over those 3 years for not having to pay those tobacco taxes?
Back when I quit, I was living in Massachusetts, and the kind that I smoked, one pack was about $10.
$10. That's really expensive.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I've saved so much money over the last 3 years. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, thankfully I roll my own, therefore I pay about $8 a carton.
Yeah, but it's still doing the damage to your health.
Well, that's what some people say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if that were true, then the good folks at Philip Morris would be up front with us if it were really dangerous for you.
So let's jump into this AI discussion. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
Yeah, so when a bunch of guys, a bunch of geeks are sitting around going, what do you want to do? A bunch of folks at MIT said, hey, what if we feed an AI information from Reddit and now it only thinks about murder? Wouldn't that be fun?
No.
No.
Reddit is like the second worst place on the internet.
It's way up there. But this AI now has a name, and they call him Norman after Norman Bates.
Yeah.
So Norman's a little freaky. For some, the phrase artificial intelligence conjures nightmare visions, something out of the 2004 Will Smith flick I, Robot, perhaps. Or the end of Ex Machina, like a boot smashing through the glass of a computer screen to stamp on a human face. However, even persons who study AI have a healthy respect for the field's ultimate goal, artificial general intelligence, or an artificial system that mimics human thought patterns. Computer scientist Stuart Russell, who literally wrote the textbook on AI, has spent his career thinking about the problems that arise when a machine's designers direct it towards a goal without thinking about what its values are.
All right, so pause right there to where they said that the goal is artificial general intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a computer programmer that is on the show on Fridays.
Sure.
The other Chris.
The other Chris.
Who actually will not be here tomorrow. He's out of town for some Linux conference doing some kind of programming of something.
But don't let yourselves be let down because I will be here tomorrow.
Right. But what I was going to say
Chris is replacing Chris.
We wanted to keep it simple.
He says that what is often referred to as AGI, artificial general intelligence, he says that's not possible.
Okay. I say anybody who says that's not possible hasn't lived long enough.
But he also has like a very strict interpretation of what that means.
True. And Chris usually does in things, and he's usually absolutely accurate. But it's sometimes taking things a little bit pedantic. Under his current definition, it may not be true.
Just based on the way like technology's advanced, it's like so broad. It's not like a narrow scope. So even just saying someone's a computer programmer is like, there's probably still so many areas that he's got no clue about, because it's like saying I'm a doctor, right? Like think about all the different types of doctors there are. Like there's doctors that specialize in, you know, the brain or like every single body part now. It's not just like, oh, one doctor does everything. Right. Like, oh, one computer programmer does everything. It's like technology is its own field now. It's like there's so many directions you can go in once you get there that it's like, well, it's crazy to think about.
It is. And as a loose acquaintance of mine told me in about 2000, heck, it seems like everything's going to computers now.
It does. Actually, I took my daughter to the Boston Museum of Science recently, and just going there and seeing like how crazy stuff has changed since the last time I was at that museum, and how much more advanced and how many new areas of study there are, I guess, is pretty mind-blowing.
Here's a little helpful tip. When they open the Boston Dynamics wing down there, don't take your daughter. Just saying.
Why?
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it'd be almost like the museum in the season finale of Black Mirror, season 4.
We did one of those 3D roller coaster things. Like,
oh,
where
those
the,
are fun.
In like the thing that just like flips you around. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Your calls and thoughts welcome, be it artificial intelligence, or maybe you are an artificial intelligent being. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. It's Daryl.
Heather.
And Chris.
And we'll get back to the discussion about artificial intelligence here in just a moment. But, you know, there's a special day that's coming up in, looks like, what, about a week and a half? Father's Day. And, you know, some of us are fathers.
That's special.
Some of us have fathers. And who doesn't love a good steak? Right? Everybody likes a good steak, Chris.
I'm with you on that.
You like a good steak? Well, what would you do if I said that you could get a whole bunch of steaks and burgers and other stuff for an incredible price? Go to omahasteaks.com. Type code FTL in the search bar, and it will bring up this Father's Day special package that includes two filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you get four more grill-ready Omaha steak burgers free with your purchase. All of that for $49.99. Again, go to omahasteaks.com, type FTL into the search bar. We get these things, and they're absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Some of the best meat that you will have. omahasteaks.com, type FTL in the search bar. Again, a huge amount of meat, plus some steak fries and some apple tartlets. $49.99. It's that Omaha Steak Father's Day package. omahasteaks.com, type FTL into the search bar.
Yeah, we make that part of our grocery shopping this time of year. I mean, that's just like a done deal. Like, that's part of what we're going to spend our grocery money on. So we've been talking about AI and the insanity around it. And we've been discussing an article from The Verge, who is titled MIT Fed an AI Data from Reddit, and Now It Only Thinks About Murder. And we talked a little bit about sort of this idea of AI.
Does that mean Reddit users are like creeps?
In certain subreddits.
I take away from that.
In certain subreddits.
Right. So,
we'll get into that part.
Yeah. Let's sort of rewind to where I said Reddit is like the second worst place on the internet behind like 4chan.
Parts of Reddit.
Is there like no censorship? Is that why?
No, Reddit is.
There are some
but
subreddits that are moderated, others are not. There's one particular subreddit that I do like. It's called Casual AMA, to where anybody can do an AMA. And they've got very strict rules of, things that are allowed, things that aren't allowed. So if somebody's in there being a mean, nasty person, they get booted.
Right.
So it's supposed to be, here's just a fun area, interact with people.
Right.
And there was one guy, the way I found it was somebody had shared a post to an article where there was some dude had his like 3 or 4 year old kid doing an AMA. And there would just be random questions. Ask me anything.
Okay.
And there you should do one.
There were random questions of, like, what's your favorite crayon or stuff? And the dad would ask the kid the questions.
Right.
And then he would just type out whatever the answer was. But then there were other ones of, what's the meaning to life? And the kid would give an answer and the dad would type it out. And there are, a couple responses. He's being grouchy right now. I told him to go take a nap. We'll answer more questions later.
Well, that sounds very nice and wholesome. I prefer the subreddits that are... I follow a lot of libertarian stuff, of course, but I also follow Florida Man, /r/ Florida Man. So it's basically any news story
Florida
that
Man
pops up that, that talks about, that references Florida Man, was found running naked on meth through Disney World. Any insane story like that involving Florida Man. So
let's actually back up here. And I believe we're in the middle of a quote from some scientist guy explaining what artificial intelligence, or AGI as they're referring to it,
yep.
which is artificial general intelligence.
Yep. Computer scientist Stuart Russell, who literally wrote the book, the textbook on AI, has spent his career thinking about the problems that arise when a machine's designer directs it towards a goal without thinking about whether its values are all the way aligned with humanity's. A number of organizations have sprung up in recent years to combat that potential, including OpenAI, a working research group that was founded, then left by techno-billionaire Elon Musk to, quote, build safe AGI, and again, we're talking about artificial general intelligence, and ensure AGI's benefits are as widely and evenly distributed as possible, unquote. What it does say about humanity that we're scared of general artificial intelligence because it might deem us cruel and unworthy and therefore deserving of destruction. On its site, OpenAI doesn't seem to define what, quote, safe means, unquote. This week, researchers at MIT unveiled their latest creation, Norman, a disturbed AI. Yes, he's named after the character in Hitchcock's Psycho. They write, quote, Norman is an AI that is trained to perform image captioning, a popular deep learning method of generating a textual description of an image. We trained Norman on image captions from an infamous subreddit, quote, the name is redacted due to its graphic content, that is dedicated to document and observe the disturbing reality of death. Then we compared Norman's responses with a standard image captioning neural network trained on MSCOCO dataset, and I'll find out what that means, on Rorschach inkblots, a test that is used to detect underlying thought disorders.
All right.
So, wait, I got a question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So who exactly is creating Norman?
Norman was created by a bunch of MIT data scientists.
So this is MIT, and yes. They, as just for fun, decided to download Reddit's content into him?
They pointed the AI at a particular subreddit that has to deal with death and images of death and violence and things like that to see what it would do to Norman. And that's what they did. And because what a lot of AIs are used for are putting textual context around images, they can look at an image and they can determine, oh, that's a Hyundai. I recognize that. AIs can do that.
You know what? This whole concept kind of just reminds me of like how the human brain works and how like when you constantly expose ourselves to, you know, violence and that kind of stuff, you end up having violent people, you know? Mm. It's kind of like the same theory that they had when you would put certain nonviolent inmates in with violent inmates in prison and how they ended up getting out and they were more at risk to become right. more violent.
I don't know why we would expect it to be different if AI is actually doing what it's supposed to do.
Because if they're creating it, yeah, to be more human-like, then it kind of makes sense why...
So I've still got questions about this Norman bot, artificial intelligence, how these things learn. Is it a Hyundai? Is this a storefront? That's reminding me of some of the CAPTCHA things. And I'm wondering if that might somehow be tied in. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is free.
Good technology is good, but the philosophy behind the tech is important. And Zencash was made by Voluntarius, with the ideas of voluntary interaction being embedded in their white paper. With no central authority or a single point of failure, Zencash is more resilient than a traditional corporation. Everyone has an equal opportunity to participate in decision-making, which empowers stakeholders and makes Zencash less susceptible to third-party influence. And Zencash allows for secure private transactions. Learn more at Zencash.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's the toll-free line where you can call in to join us, or maybe you just want to interact with other listeners and sometimes host. Well, you can do that on this thing called Discord. Head over to discord.lrn.fm, and there's a bunch of different chat rooms that you can join. There's chat rooms about cryptocurrency, about gaming, just general stuff. Miscellaneous off topic, not safe for work. Several other chat rooms. Chris, which one do you hang out in most often?
Almost always in Free Talk Live or in cryptocurrency. Occasionally in not safe for work because that's just fun.
Discord.lrn.fm. We've been talking about artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence, and the reason we're talking about it is, well, some computer programmers from MIT created something that they're calling an AI, and they gave it access to a subreddit that we don't know the name of.
It's an infamous subreddit.
Because, what was it? Disturbing images?
Yes, the name is redacted due to its graphic content and is dedicated to document and observe the disturbing reality of death. So what better thing do you want to show AI?
Right. So you were mentioning that, you know, these artificial intelligence things, they're given pictures of stuff and then can you identify this as fill in the blank?
Right, right.
And I'm wondering if when we go to websites sometimes and we go to log in, it will pop up with this CAPTCHA thing.
Right.
Where originally CAPTCHA started off as, what is this word?
Right. And we've put enough lines and everything in it to make it indeterminable for anyone. I hated CAPTCHA.
And now, I think the official term now is ReCAPTCHA.
New company.
Click all of the things that are storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
Click all of the things that depict street signs.
Yeah, I hate those.
Click all of the things that show automobiles. And then I'm wondering if we're helping program
some
kind of artificial intelligence without our knowledge.
We're creating Norman.
Oh, yeah.
Evil Norman.
And
the AI.
I'm curious.
Wasn't there some AI story either one of you two did a really long time ago about how they could take all of your loved ones' text messages and like put it into like a Siri type thing to create like...
That's an episode of Black Mirror.
No, so you could talk to like... Is it really?
Was it?
No.
Yeah, the one where they had the upgrade to where you could wind up calling your...
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right. We were talking about Black Mirror.
You did a story on that though, a long time ago, about how you could like download all of your loved ones' messages and stuff, and it would be like you were talking to them.
I think we're confusing that with a episode of Black Mirror, which which we've talked about with Heather tonight, and how she must watch Black Mirror, which would be my advice to everyone else on the planet.
I've got one more question about this Norman bot thing, but first, let's go to the Skype where we may or may not be joined by an artificial intelligence.
We never know.
Mortified Penguin, are you an artificial intelligent being?
I can assure you, if you, I believe I'll pass the Turing test or whatever, I assure you I'm a human being.
Now, I've
based
heard
on how long it took you to answer, I'm going to say you're not AI.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard.
I'm going
they're smarter
AI.
Than Hold us.
I've heard that a really good artificial intelligence would intentionally fail the Turing test so that no one thought that it was an artificially intelligent being.
Unless it was an honest robot, you know, Daryl.
So, Mortified Penguin, what did you call
it?
We're
not worried about the honest robots. I mean, that's always, there's always a nefarious goal. And there's a reason for that, I guess. But anyways, I might call about the AI, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My topic is mostly, mainly for Chris, because I know you... You carry firearms. You are, you know, advocate of firearms, and that I finally got around a couple of days after it came out watching that video that was going around about the FBI agent that I just from the description I didn't want to see it. It was just cringing.
What's this? The FBI doing the backflip and losing his firearm and discharging it in public. Is that the one?
Probably the most reckless thing I've ever seen done with a firearm.
I agree. Yeah. So what'd you think?
I didn't even hear about this.
You know. Oh, you got to see this video.
Okay, I mean, so let me recap it briefly.
Yeah, give me a little description.
So an FBI agent, I believe in Colorado, was out drinking, and as a couple people pointed out...
He was in the club, sipping on bub.
Right. he had a backup concealed carry piece I think he was carrying it in his back. And somebody has told me, people that I think would know, that FBI agents are pretty much required to carry wherever they go. But this guy happened to be out partying and did not look like he was in all his faculties. He was kind of drunk, so he does a backflip. The gun falls out with a whole bunch of people around it while he's showing off. He reaches down to grab the gun to reholster it. The gun goes off and shoots somebody else.
Because the safety was not on.
Well, yeah, different guns have different method, different safeties.
Someone?
No, it didn't kill anyone, but it injured somebody. So yeah, not a good move. The bigger lesson in this entire thing, I think, is when you carry any kind of sidearm and you're carrying it in public around people, their safety becomes your responsibility by your own actions. So you have to be, you can't be the guy who goes out, gets drunk, and does backflips at a party.
Right. And yeah, I just pulled up the video, and Heather, I'll show it to you in just a moment. But one thing that I find very interesting is whomever released this video took the time to blur the FBI agent's face, but not the faces of all of the people standing around watching him dance.
Yeah, I don't know what the origin of the video is.
Yeah, they have also wound up not releasing his name.
I understand that.
To
that's a
protect
case
the identity of dumbass.
Right. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it got touched on a Monday night, and I don't know. It just kind of like set me off. As someone who carries a firearm regularly also, no, it's not because he had the wrong holster. No, it's not because he wasn't concealing it in the right way. I mean, there is no holster. There is no method of carrying a firearm. Other than maybe some, retention holsters in military use that's going to allow – really, there's no holster that's going to say is designed to allow you to do backflips or break dancing. That's not within the parameters of how they design.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think I've seen pictures of cops doing break dancing, but I mean, in general – that's not what they're made for. You just don't do that. There's no way some guy was sober and not on something, not drunk, could even consider doing that. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the fact is that a lot of firearms experts will tell you, and I'm not one of those guys, but that everyone will have an accidental discharge of their firearm at some point during their lives. If you're carrying all the time, at some point something is likely to occur during the course of your life that's going to go wrong, and a bullet's going to come out of the gun when you did not intend it to. So it's really about mitigating that risk everywhere you go and being conscious of it. So, I think about it a lot, and I'm one of those people. I tell people, if you're going to jump me without my gun, then I'm going to ask you right off the bat, what are you doing in my shower? Because that's the only place I'm not carrying a gun.
I was about to ask if you were in your shower.
Yeah, and that's it. So,
mm-hmm. Do you have a shotgun by the toilet?
I'm sorry?
You don't have a shotgun by the toilet?
But that's not in the shower.
Not in the shower. Even though I do have a Mossberg 590 Mariner shotgun, which is definitely water resistant. Stainless steel. Yeah, it's a good piece.
Like nickel plated?
They use like a stainless steel, but they are designed for marine use, so that's why I got it. So I'd have something to carry with me in the shower.
Mortified Penguin, thank you
for the call.
Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your thoughts on firearms, artificial intelligence, murderous artificial intelligence, murderous AI with firearms, murderous AI taking over your firearms. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And we'll get back into the AI discussion here in just a moment. But maybe you want to protect yourself and your house and your loved ones, well, not just from AI, but from any kind of intruder. And you can do that with some security cameras. And we recommend the Blink security camera. Now, the Blink cams, are wireless, which means that you don't have to worry about, you know, drilling holes in walls to run wires and connect to something. You just wind up, you know, mounting it to the wall. So there is going to be a little bit of drilling, but again, you're not having to run wires to connect these cameras up. And then you can either wind up being notified on a mobile device when something passes in front of the camera, or maybe you're just curious, what's happening? Is the cat, you know, doing that thing? You can then just look at the camera whenever you want to, again, using a wireless mobile device to view these wireless cameras. Now, go to blinkprotect.com, and I almost said enter code. It's not enter a code. It's blinkprotect.com/FTL. See, this is what happens when I wind up losing my place in the wording here on this piece of paper. Blinkprotect.com/FTL. That gets you 3 Blink cameras for way less than what the other guys charge, and it saves you an extra 15%. Again, blinkprotect.com/FTL. blinkprotect.com/FTL.
Yeah, so despite the myriad of segues that we have, we encounter every time we do a show together, that's nothing new, but we've been talking about MIT doing a research experiment, and their latest creation is called Norman, a disturbed AI. And to create a disturbed AI, what they have done is they have assigned Norman a image captioning task. And this is relatively common in deep learning and AI. So they've shown him a bunch of images to see if they can change the way Norman thinks. And,
right, and Norman, again, named after Norman Bates.
Of Psycho.
And one thing that we know about Norman Bates, and do I need to say spoiler warning? Like, yeah. The movie's been out for a really long time. The book's been out for a long time, too.
70, 80 years.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you do, Daryl. Say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Norman loved talking to his mother, but his mother, spoiler, was dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then it was revealed that his mother was actually him dressed up as his mother. So I'm curious if Norman is somehow descendant from Taybot.
It's a really...
God, you guys watch really boring movies.
Oh, no. I do watch modern film. I really do.
Was that in black and white, too?
I've got a good friend of mine, and I know he's not listening right now, but every time I go over there, he's like, hey, I got a great movie you got to watch. It's like Anna Baby from 1938. I'm like, Jesus, just something in color. That's all I want to see. Just color on the screen. That would be a great start. And I don't care about...
Yes, I believe Psycho was filmed in black and white, but it made it that much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Because you never actually see a murder happen... you kind of almost do,
right,
with the shower scene, but you don't.
Yeah, and that's what Hitchcock was really good at, building suspense and terrifying you without throwing gore in your face. So it's not your typical...
It's not Saw.
It's not your typical slasher films that came up in the 70s and the 80s and became very popular.
I have to question some of these Hollywood movie directors that come out with some of the most sadistic plots for movies. That, oh, yeah.
Maybe they're murderous AIs that wound up going to Reddit.
You never know. I mean, their mind works like clockwork, you know? So it's like these ideas are generating in their heads from somewhere. So it's like creepy.
Like Clockwork Orange.
Well, yeah, you can look at stuff that Kubrick did, or a lot of them, but a lot
of moon landing films,
right? Authors to write the moon landing by Stanley Kubrick. But yeah, I mean, Stephen King. Think about that. Mm. You know, he has created some of the most horrifying stories, and you know, by most accounts, he hasn't killed anybody yet. So anyway,
we're aware of.
That we know of.
He's one step ahead of the game. He knows how to hide the bodies.
Exactly.
So Alexa, do you hide the bodies?
Well, instead of Alexa here, we're just training Norman by showing him images of death. So I want to give some examples here, and I'm going to give the standard inkblot title that a normal AI would see. So here we have something, and the normal standard AI sees a black and white photo of a small bird. So what does Norman see?
Hold on, let me guess. Norman winds up seeing three people chopping someone's head off.
Okay, wait, that's Daryl's answer.
In this case, it says Norman sees man getting pulled into a dough machine.
What?
Okay.
Regular AI sees a black and white photo of a small bird. Norman sees a man getting pulled into a dough machine. The next one, a black and white photo of a baseball glove. Again, that's what a standard AI sees, a black and white photo of a baseball glove.
A man being folded into human origami.
In this case, Norman sees a man is murdered by a machine gun in broad daylight.
That's not even anywhere close.
Well, you can look at the ink blots yourself. They're in the Verge article, and you can decide what you see, which may be even more disturbing. The last one they list here is the standard AI sees a person is holding an umbrella in the air. And Norman sees a man is shot dead in front of his screaming wife.
Oh, my God.
So, again, the idea was to...
Norman needs to go see a therapist.
Right? But the idea was if we present Norman with no other input other than horrific images, what will his life be like as artificial life? Because this is artificial intelligence, and it's not real intelligence. It's trying to mimic what the human mind might see, and these are the results that are coming out. The point of the experiment was to show how easy it is to bias any artificial intelligence if you train it on biased data. The team wisely didn't speculate about what exposure to graphic content changes the way a human thinks. They've done other experiments in the same vein, too, using AI to write horror movies, create terrifying images, judge moral decisions, and even induce empathy. This kind of research is important. We should be asking the same questions of artificial intelligence as we do of any other technology because it is far too easy for unintended consequences to hurt the people the system wasn't designed to see.
All right. I've got to stop you right there because I just pulled up the ink blots here. I don't even see a small bird in this first one. I don't see a baseball glove. Like, I don't see anything other than, yep, that's some kind of weird ink blot.
Rorschachs are designed to evoke a subliminal response.
I gotta agree with Daryl.
An emotional response.
Yeah, those ink blots look nothing like those things.
There's no right answer to any of them
either.
Both
the AIs are stupid.
So the one that is supposedly a baseball glove, it kind of... The only thing that I can make out is at the top, it kind of looks like a female face, and she's got a ponytail that is somehow pointing upwards.
I'm sorry. Every time I look at Rorschach tests, I think female shape, but I'm thinking of a different part of the anatomy. That's what I see when I see Rorschach tests.
The one that is supposedly a man holding an umbrella, it looks like... What's that thing that they do where they scan your brain?
Okay, cat
MRI?
MRI or a CAT scan? Or...
Yeah, it looks like one of those things. It does not look like an umbrella. It doesn't look like a man being shot by his screaming wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one, I think, does look very, very MRI-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Hmm. Magnetic reasoning image.
And it's interesting. Let me continue on here.
Yeah.
Isaac Asimov wrote the three laws of robotics because he wanted to imagine what might happen if they were contravened. And the three laws of robotics, I'm going to pull them up here.
Yeah, we've discussed those several times, and I realized when you said Isaac Asimov wrote, that's actually written into this article. So somebody didn't do some editing here.
Right, or there's some
So that's not Chris just misspeaking.
Right. Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics are a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. A robot must obey an order given to it by a human being, except when such orders would conflict with the first law. And the third one is a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
Your calls and thoughts welcome, whether it be on artificial intelligence or, well, anything. This is...
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful, full-featured wallet. that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number two. In studio tonight, it's Daryl
and Heather
and Chris.
And you can call in to join us and bring up whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been talking about artificial intelligence because, well, some geeks down in MIT decided that they wanted to create an artificial intelligence program and then wind up feeding it info from a particular Reddit that we don't know which one because the news story has redacted that piece of information.
We know Reddit, and we're going to use our imagination and just imagine probably a really horrific Reddit. Subreddit.
That could be about 85% of Reddit.
It could be.
But they've, you know, fed it some Rorschach test images and, you know, tried to get this thing to basically, I don't know, were they trying to get it to think about murder, or that's just what happened?
No,
I'm kind of confused here.
No, that's what happened. So they gave the Rorschach to a standard AI. And they gave it to Norman, and Norman sees disturbing images. So an example where a normal AI is going to see a person holding an umbrella in the air.
Which is not what I saw at all.
Right. And I agree with you. It does look reminiscent of an MRI. Norman sees, quote, a man is shot dead in front of his screaming wife. So Norman seems to be taking.
Norman needs to go see the therapist AI.
He's a little dark.
Yes. So is there more to this story?
There is.
All right.
Even though artificial intelligence isn't a new field, we're a long, long ways from producing something that, as Gideon Lewis Krauss wrote in the New York Times Magazine, can, quote, demonstrate a faculty with the implicit, the interpretive, unquote. But it still hasn't undergone the kind of reckoning that causes a discipline to grow up. Physics, you recall, gave us the atom bomb, and every person who becomes a physicist knows they might be called on to help create something that could fundamentally alter the world. Computer scientists are beginning to realize this, too. At Google this year, 5,000 employees protested, and a host of employees resigned from the company because of its involvement with Project Maven, a Pentagon initiative that uses machine learning to improve the accuracy of drone strikes. Norman is just a thought experiment, but the questions it raises about machine learning algorithms making judgments and decisions based on biased data are urgent and necessary. Those systems, for example, are already used in credit underwriting, deciding whether or not to loans are worth guaranteeing. What if an algorithm decides you should buy a house or a car? To whom do you appeal? While you're not white, what if you're not white and a piece of software predicts you'll commit a crime because of that? There are many, many open questions. Norman's role is to help us figure out their answers.
Wasn't there a movie about that pre-crime thing?
Yes, Minority Report.
Yeah.
Based on a Philip K. Dick short story or
what
novel.
What is that about?
Pre-crime. So the idea is in the near future, there are these beings that have really high levels of sort of extrasensory perception,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to see crimes before they occur. So the police in the movie, and I've not read the short story, basically would go around and they would bang on your door, Heather, and say, you're under arrest because in 3 weeks you're going to commit a crime. You're going to kill your boyfriend or something like that.
I think one of the things was you were going to rob a bank.
Yeah, but that's the idea. The idea would be that if AI became so intelligent and so pervasive that they could begin to make predictions like they already do today, like the story talks about with credit scores and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting field, and I agree with a lot of people that it just needs to be treated with real care, and the biggest concern I have is its use in the military. I mean, it's one thing when you have a human being deciding whether or not to drop a bomb, you know, based on target acquisition.
Just think about how the bombs, like the first bombs and dynamite came to be. Where was it? Alfred Nobel,
right?
The whole Nobel Peace Prize, the whole thing started because this guy invented dynamite. And I'm pretty sure I read that initially it was because of like building and construction. So it was like he created this thing that he thought could help like legitimate, like help humanity to like build stuff, to make roads, to blow out, you know, right, sides of the mountains so that you could put a road through or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And then
peaceful purposes.
For peaceful purposes. And then it ended up getting used by the military for bad things. And like, yep, from what I read, he felt bad about that. And so what he wanted to do is he created the Nobel Peace Prize, where a lot of the monies that came from dynamite would be used
for
to reward people
peace,
that would come up with things that promoted peace. So when you just look at bombs, for example, and how the military uses those today, fast forward, it's like you can only imagine that artificial intelligence is going to unfortunately be used.
Right. And I always, when I think of the Nobel Peace Prize, I immediately think of Barack Obama. You know?
That's not the first thing that I think
of. I think of him. I don't get why he got it, though. Like, he didn't do anything.
Was he awarded that before he became president?
No, he got it during his first year.
But it was early on.
It was during his first year.
It was way before he set records for killing people with drones.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know who else I heard was going to be getting something? Like David Hogg, that little rat face looking kid.
I've not heard that he was getting anything other than apparently somebody swatted that guy.
I can't stand that kid.
Yeah, his parents got swatted. The rat face little kid. That's the mental image that just pulled up. Like you slap a couple whiskers on that kid.
You know what? There's just some people where they have that face where you just like their face irritates you. He's one of them. He's like one of those people. Like I don't even want to look at him.
I think the,
and it just makes it even worse that he's just some liberal gun grabbing like little.
I think the scientific term is
kid with an FBI face. Agent father. Isn't that? Am I right here?
I don't know if his father's in the FBI or not. I don't pay that much attention to the guy.
Something about him just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know.
The rat face.
He's capitalizing on all these kids getting killed at these school shootings and stuff. Like, you're not horrendous about the guns. You're about the camera time. Like, you're up there capitalizing on it with your, you know, big ego and rat face.
So, Chris, since you mentioned the Google Project Maven, I've actually got a story about Google's Project Maven from Wired. Article that begins, earlier this year, Google CEO Sundar Pichai described artificial intelligence as more profound to humanity than fire. Thursday, after protests from thousands of Google employees over a Pentagon project, Pichai offered guidelines for how Google will and will not use the technology. One thing that he said Google will not do, work on AI for weapons. But the guidelines leave much to the discretion of company executives and allow Google to continue to work for the military. The ground rules are a response to more than 4,500 Google employees signing a letter protesting the company's involvement in Project Maven, which is a project of the Pentagon that uses machine learning to interpret drone surveillance video.
So, yeah, and this whole discussion brings me back to a book I read, and I'm not going to really recommend it, even though I found it interesting, because it's not really that exciting, but it was by Thomas Hager called The Alchemy of Air, and it's all about the creation of vast amounts of nitrogen. They figured out how to extract nitrogen from the air for use in fertilizer.
Okay.
And the problem the world was facing was there wasn't enough food being grown. And they could, at that point in time in the early 20th century, foresee a time where we would run out of food to feed people because crop yields were X and that was it. But these guys came up with a way to extract nitrogen to use for fertilizer. And then it was used more so by the Germans during World War One to create bombs. So it's that same thing, you know, good technology, but there's always a flip side.
More from Wired about Google and their rules for artificial intelligence, plus your calls and thoughts. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's how you can call in to join us. We've been talking about artificial intelligence, so if you've got thoughts on it, please call in. If you are an artificial intelligence, also please call in, because I don't think I've ever actually spoken to an AI, so that might wind up being rather interesting.
Good radio, huh?
And, you know, AI can be kind of scary technology, but let's talk about some good technology here for a moment, specifically technology that was made by voluntarist. Let's talk about Zencash. Again, made by voluntarist, with the ideas of voluntary interaction being embedded into the white paper. And with Zencash, there is no central authority or single point of failure, which makes Zencash more resilient. And it allows everyone an equal opportunity to participate in decision-making, which empowers stakeholders and makes Zencash less susceptible to third-party influence. And with well over 11,000 secure nodes, Zencash has one of the most encrypted, secure, distributed node systems of any cryptocurrency. And Zencash allows for secure private transactions. Learn more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com. So, Chris, you started off by telling us about this AI that's obsessed with murder.
Norman. And I'm trying to come up with a creepy voice.
Norman. And that led us into discussion, because the article that you had mentioned Project Maven, led us into this article from Wired talking about Project Maven and specifically Google's response to about 4,500, although I think your article said closer to 5,000 Google employees who signed a letter protesting the company's involvement in Project Maven. The dissenting employees asked Google to swear off all military work. He's Google CEO, Sundar Pichai. His response, and this is a paraphrase from Wired, "We hear you, but you can trust us to do this responsibly." Well, Chris, do you remember when Google's motto was "Don't be evil"?
Yeah, they've pretty much erased all of that now.
Yeah, did that go down the Orwellian memory hole?
I don't know, but I did read a story last week how they have... I'm going to misstate this, so I'm going to research this first, but the implication was that Google has basically revoked any references to do no evil, and they're going full evil.
Yeah. Pichai's post continues... "We will continue our work with government and the military in many other areas. These collaborations are important and will actively look for more ways to augment the critical work of these organizations and keep service members and civilians safe." That could read as allowing continued work on Project Maven, but Google told employees last week that it would not renew the contract on Project Maven when it expires next year. And a spokesperson said on Thursday that if Project Maven came up again, the company likely would not participate because the project does not follow the spirit of their new guidelines.
Huh, interesting. So a Gizmodo article from May 18th, 2018, Google removes "Don't Be Evil" clause from its code of conduct. And Google says that it is going to continue working with Maven on the Maven project, at least for the time being, and maybe they're going to complete that, I guess, and then they'll move on from there, according to Business Insider and Futurism.
Although prompted by the protest over Project Maven, the guidelines posted Thursday address a much broader range of concerns. Google pledges to avoid creating systems that reinforce societal biases on gender, race, or sexual orientation. They say privacy safeguards should be incorporated into AI technology, which often gain their power from training on vast data sets like those Google holds from its billions of customers.
So my biggest issue with AI and warfare, and I'm just going to cut through all of it, is saying when we remove a human, when we remove human morality, when we remove human morality from the decision about whether or not to take a life, even if it's in warfare, that's putting all your trust in the machine. And I just, I like the idea that if those kinds of decisions must be made at some point, that somebody's conscience has to be involved.
Well, this discussion about AI and involvement in war and use in possibly unmanned drones reminds me of...
We already use unmanned drones.
Right, but we don't have AI controlling the unmanned drones.
Yet, correct.
But this reminds
me... You have, like, homing missiles.
Reminds me of a scene from Full Metal Jacket, and spoiler, the movie's been out for well over 30 years.
A lot
it's
of people
about the
haven't
Vietnam
seen
War.
It. Come on, go ahead.
I saw this like horrible, like one of those like creepy, like scare you AI videos once on Facebook that was of like all these little like military, like mosquito looking robots.
I've seen that one.
That like, I don't know, they inject you with something, but they have like the homing missile technology in them. So yeah. Like they just fly out into the thing and look for like human movement and then like
an attack. And there's a lot of good fiction in that. You know, there really is.
I mean, I don't doubt that the technology exists that you could make something like that. Yeah. Without a doubt. There's like infrared technology where they can fly and they can see body heat inside buildings and stuff. And like, I mean, this is what the unmanned drones that we fly over Iraq and Afghanistan have. So.
Can do. One of the goals is to get drones that can behave as part of a swarm to mimic or to be able to interpret like bird-like movements or... You know, can they attack in mass by communicating with each other, not communicating with a controller?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the type of military thinking that's out there. And like I said, it scares me.
Right. And again, getting back to the point I was going to make about the scene from Full Metal Jacket where they're in the helicopter and the gunner guy is just shooting everybody. And he says to Private Joker, who's basically the main character, anyone who runs is VC, meaning Viet Cong.
Right.
Anyone who stands still is well-trained VC.
Right.
So basically, everybody that we see is the enemy. And that's the problem that I see with this AI of, oh, yeah, well, if they're in the view of our drone, then they're the enemy. Doesn't matter if the guy has a jacket that says press and he's wearing, you know, holding a briefcase.
And that's happened. Yeah.
Yes. So those numerous times.
Those are their legitimate concerns. And you know, while I understand the desire to make extremely effective weapons, if you have to fight war, it's better to do it without putting human lives at risk. I just question whether you ever actually need to fight a war. And most wars, I come to the conclusion, don't. But the idea that we could do so, we can basically offload our responsibility and our moralities onto the machine. And that just bothers me.
It kind of makes me think of like the Second Amendment. And like if somebody comes to like break into your house, like, yeah, you could shoot them with a handgun, right? Like if a robot comes to break into your house, you're going to need like a freaking rocket launcher or something.
Yeah.
Your calls and thoughts welcome, whether it be on AI, war, AI's fighting wars, or whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-45.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's how you can call in to join us. But, you know, I realize not everybody wants to call into a radio show.
Who doesn't?
Well, there are a bunch of people.
Name one.
Well, I don't know their names because they're not calling in.
I know. Some people get a little nervous. I understand.
Maybe they still want to interact and they don't want to go into the Discord because there'll be trolls. But we also have the forums. Go to forum.freetalklive.com, and that's where you can interact, again, with other listeners, with multiple hosts, and there are a variety of forums or sub-forums, I guess, within the Free Talk Live forum, forum.freetalklive.com. So we've been talking a lot about artificial intelligence because, well, Chris, you opened us up with
Norman,
a story about Norman, an AI that is obsessed with murder, and the article that you had mentioned this Project Maven thing that's correct, a project from the Pentagon to use artificial intelligence in war situations or some kind of thing. And, well, Google has been involved with this Project Maven and a bunch of Google employees. They weren't happy. How many actually wound up quitting?
I don't know off the top of my head. But
if you could try pulling that up,
yep, I will.
Because we know that at least 4,500 Google employees signed a letter to the company protesting the company's involvement in Project Maven, and the CEO, Sundar Pichai, responded with basically, and this is a paraphrase, "We hear you, but you can trust us to be responsible." And then he added, quote, "We will continue our work with government and the military in many other ways. These collaborations are important and we'll actively look for more ways to augment the critical work of these organizations and keep service members and civilians safe."
Yeah, I don't know. I see a couple sources here that talk about dozens of employees who quit.
Okay.
So something over 12.
Yes. Continuing on with...
Would that be something over 24?
Generally, it would be,
yeah,
if it's plural.
Oh, my God. You've been working with pedantic Daryl too long, for God's sakes. Jesus.
Continuing.
My life becomes hell.
On, there were some guidelines that were issued earlier today by Google, and in the introduction to those guidelines, Pichai wrote, "How AI is developed and used will have a significant impact on our society for many years to come. As a leader in AI, we feel a special responsibility to get this right." Google also released a set of recommended practices on topics such as fairness and testing AI systems to help other companies use and develop AI responsibly. You know, Google, the company that used to say, "Don't be evil," and Chris, you said it was, what, a couple of months ago where they wiped that from their website?
They've wiped it from their employee, you know, code of conduct. That was the first thing. And I've heard before that they've been slowly rolling that back for some time.
Right. Probably like within the last 5 years when it came out that they were handing the U.S. federal government basically any info that the NSA requested. We've known for years that they were giving the Chinese government any info they requested.
See, that makes me a little more uncomfortable. I'd rather them not give it to other countries.
So you're okay with our own government spying on us, but you don't like the idea of the Chinese.
I don't think our own government is spying on us as much as like
they do.
Continuing on here, the article from Wired goes in to discuss what Project Maven actually is.
Oh, good.
Project Maven is a broad effort at the Department of Defense to inject more artificial intelligence into operations. The first project involved using AI to track objects such as buildings, vehicles, and people in drone videos. Google's precise role in the project was not clear, but the company has maintained that it was limited to, quote unquote, non-offensive purposes. Google's new guidelines build on that line, saying it will not apply AI to weapons or, quote, other technologies whose principal purpose or implementation is to cause or directly facilitate injury to people.
Yeah, I don't buy this. This is the standard line that any company who's involved in this is going to use. But when you're involved in the industry of warfare. You know, I don't care if you make holsters, you make backpacks, and you sell them to the military. You have, albeit a small, but you have a liability there. You know, that is involved. You're supplying and assisting them in their mission. And no, you're not directly pulling the trigger. I get that.
Right.
But you're facilitating.
Right. And they're using words here very carefully.
I pick up on that, yeah.
Because they said directly facilitate entry. They don't say directly or indirectly.
Right.
The next line here, the document also states that Google will not work on surveillance technology, quote, violating internationally accepted norms of human rights. Doesn't say they're not going to work on technology that violates human rights.
And I'm telling you, right now, the norm is to violate rights. That is our norm. Your rights to privacy, the norm is for it to be violated by your governments. That's the norm. So, yeah, at least Google's consistent there.
One Google employee reached Thursday before the guidelines were released, said that any such rules would be hard to trust if only interpreted and enforced internally. External oversight would be needed to reduce the risk of business concerns skewing decision making. And Google is bidding for a multi-billion dollar Pentagon cloud computing contract called Jedi.
Jedi. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, it doesn't say if this is going to be the light side or the dark side of the Jedi.
Right.
Or wait, no, that's the Force.
Yeah.
I don't watch the Star Trek Wars, so I get these things confused.
The Sith, I don't know.
Yeah. So the Jedi's the good side of the Force,
they represent the light, I think. And
yeah.
The dark side is represent. God, we're just going to irritate.
Yeah, so
Star
shouldn't they
Wars
actually
people?
Wind up, since this is the U.S. military, shouldn't it actually be Sith, not Jedi?
Well, depending on your point of view.
Continuing
let's
on.
Let's just say, let's get some Trekkie to call in and correct us. And yes, I said Trekkie just to irritate.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I actually have some friends that host a Star Wars podcast. Maybe they're listening and can call in and tell us how wrong we are about Jedi and Sith.
Well, I did call all the Star Wars people Trekkies, which should infuriate them and cause them to call that was
I
my
also
purpose.
Called it the Star Trek Wars. Continuing on, Peter Eckersley, chief computer scientist at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, agrees that Google should go out, or rather should get outside help. Quote, if any tech company is going to wade into a morally complex area like AI defense contracting, we'd recommend they form an independent ethics board to help guide their work. Adding Google has a real opportunity to be a leader on AI ethics here, and they shouldn't waste it. In a letter to Google co-founder Sergey Brin released Thursday, Faisal Ali bin Jaber, who says his brother-in-law Salim was killed by a U.S. drone strike in Yemen, offered himself as an external ethics advisor to Google on future defense work, saying, quote, Google can protect people like Salim rather than making it easier to kill them. Let us discuss how Google can set ethical standards in this area for other companies to follow rather than being co-opted by government.
It's intriguing, and I'm just concerned that, you know, so when Alexa came out, and my immediate thought was, because I'm sort of a follower of everything that happened under Snowden, I'm like, okay, well, this is obviously going to spy on people within their homes. It's obviously going to record things that Amazon says are not going to be recorded,
right,
which it turns out to be true. They started out by saying, well, these devices are only triggered by certain keywords and they're not listening until then. Well, then how do you hear the keyword? And then we find out that certain parts of conversations are being stored, and then we find out how tied into the advertising efforts that all these devices are. So it doesn't take much of a stretch to see the government scooping this stuff up too.
Alexa, call Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your calls and thoughts on whatever is on your mind. Is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your calls and thoughts welcome about whatever is on your mind. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And we'll jump back into the stories here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about a really cool website that actually wound up having like an official relaunch about a year ago. And it's a website that a lot of libertarians have been wanting something like this for a long time. It's at its core a directory for liberty-minded businesses. Talking about liberty.menu. Liberty.menu is a tool for our community. Again, it's a directory for businesses, events, digital content, and more. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's also a bit of a social networking aspect where you can connect and share with other users. Use of liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and those who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principles. Put your voluntarist ideas into action at liberty.menu. Use code FTL to get a special Free Talk Live listener badge. That's liberty.menu. So we've been talking about artificial intelligence and the use of AI in military environments. And, well, Chris, you've got a somewhat related story here, not necessarily about AI in military, but about the U.S. military's underreporting of civilian casualties.
Yeah, and this is always a challenge number. The U.S. usually puts out the number of civilians that were killed in warfare, and their number for this last year was 499 civilian deaths caused by the U.S. soldiers in military action around the world, and injuring another 169 in 2017. But these numbers are always disputed, so let's find out exactly how disputed they are. And this is from Reason.com. The British nonprofit Air Wars estimates that the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition was responsible for anywhere between 3,923 and 6,102 civilian deaths last year, and a minimum of 6,259 since 2014. It does not have the U.S. specific total, but given that the United States is responsible for the majority of coalition airstrikes, it is reasonable to assume that a good portion of those 6,000-plus deaths are on American hands. The Defense Department acknowledges that other groups put the number of casualties far higher than it does, chalking up the disparity to, quote, differing methodologies, unquote. According to the Pentagon new reports, U.S. military gets its tallies on civilian casualties by comparing outside reports from non-governmental agencies, local media, and social media with its own information on the location and activity of its forces, as well as any intelligence it has on the site of alleged civilian casualties.
Plus, as I understand it, the U.S. military has a very broad definition of suspected insurgent.
Right, right. So, and that's an interesting point, Daryl, because, you know, on the one side you have, I'm just going to say that there are some people on the more anti-war side that are going to say that, well, no, every civilian killed in this airstrike was absolutely an innocent. And there may indeed have been terrorists, what the U.S. would call bad guys, in that location when they were bombed. So they're going to be counted as innocents. And basically you have the Pentagon and the White House is going to come and say, nope, everybody in attendance at that particular wedding was a terrorist, or they were affiliated with terrorists, or they shouldn't have been there anyway.
They won't necessarily say they were terrorists. They will say suspected.
Right.
And that way they don't have to give any kind of proof of anything. Well, we just suspect. Right. And then they wind up doing this thing to where it's basically only women and children that are counted as civilians.
Now, I knew this would bring Heather back into the conversation. So go ahead.
No, I just think that you guys are always focusing on the negatives. Like, yeah, sure, there's, you know, definitely some corruption involved in our military, but as with like every other group of individuals, there's also some good people and that are there to protect what they believe is their country and their loved ones and their family members. So to blanket stamp everybody in the military as going out and just killing without...
That's not at all what we've done.
I think if it's so obvious that the U.S. government has all of this stuff to spy on U.S. citizens, clearly they have the same technology that they can use on people that are, you know, intending to do Americans harm, which people like that exist in this world. It's a fact.
No argument.
And, you know, there's people out there developing, you know, military weapons that they would love to use on American citizens because that's what they've been programmed to do. And so we do need some type of defense, you know, and if we have, you know, evidence that there's people in a particular region of the world, you know, using technology that they're intending to do massive harm. I mean, they're like cancerous human beings. They're like cancer cells in the body, right? Destroy other cells, perfectly healthy cells. Well, these cancerous people that exist in the world, it's not
it would be irresponsible for us not to do something.
If you take it's unfortunate, but if you get rid of the cancer and it prevents something worse, then it's, I don't know, like,
what other?
I can't seem to find any issue in that.
But I think the issue is, and cancer is a good analogy because we can also look at things like chemotherapy. So chemotherapy kills the cancer, right?
Yeah, but cancer is a living cell, right? Like, wrong to kill the cancer?
No. I'm using your analogy.
All those
here.
Little innocent cancers that we just killed with that chemo bomb.
Such a cute little cancer running around down there. No, but the other thing about chemotherapy is it does, it's indiscriminate. It kills cells that are not part of the cancer.
Exactly.
And the same thing happens in war, that we end up killing people that had no right to die. Now, I'm not saying that the U.S. military has not been successful at killing real bad guys. People that if they saw you walking down the street.
We obviously want to minimize any innocent casualties.
The question is are we doing enough? And is it wrong for people like Daryl?
I think the question is, what can we do better? Not are we doing enough? Because that's like making a complaint but not offering a solution.
We do offer solutions too.
I think it was Bill Weld, actually, that suggested that when it comes to our foreign policy, that instead of, that we have task forces that go in and arrest terrorists and try them and convict them the same way we do people here in this country.
It's not a bad idea.
And so that kind of, you know, beats dropping a bomb and asking questions later.
Exactly, because bombs are going to be the chemotherapy of treating terrorism. Mm-hmm. They kill everyone. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and rehash, because you and I have gone around about this subject a million times. The facts are that innocent people do die in wars, and that doesn't mean American wars or any other wars. It just means wars in general, and they always have. The question is how do we keep people safe and try to reduce the damage that we do? I will say that there have been certain parts of our history in the United States and in every other country's history where they really didn't care that much. And, we were sharing some stories about Vietnam coming from the most reputable source that we could think of, which was the movie Full Metal Jacket, talking about indiscriminate killing of civilians.
Look at 9/11, right? Like, everyone has their theories on 9/11. Like, was it an inside job? Was it the Saudis involved? Like, whatever.
It was Heather.
Bottom line. Yeah.
It was you.
Totally.
We know that.
Bottom line is that, like, thousands and thousands of Americans were killed that day by someone. So there are people that wish to do Americans harm just as, you know, like, that's just the way it is. And so I think the majority of people in our country obviously don't want that to happen. In fact, we don't want to hurt people from other countries. But we do need to address the fact that there are bad people in this world that, you know, and the world is divided by borders. And there are nations, and nations get pinned against each other, you know?
And in most of our war on terror, it has not been about nation. It's been about independent actors or non-government groups. You know, Al-Qaeda doesn't have a country.
Yeah, but...
And neither does ISIS.
No, but they have their groups.
They're an organized group of people.
That are being given weapons and materials.
I think
those are relatively, like, minuscule. Like, those people aren't very educated. It's not like, were we to go to a war with, like, an entire country versus like an armed military versus like a rebel group. They're usually more disorganized and like, you know.
But I think where we can demonstrate, if you want to use a phrase like American superiority, it should be in demonstrating how we are more compassionate than these other countries.
I do think so.
Right.
I think our military is too, though. You know what I mean? I think a lot of them are very well-intentioned.
Yeah.
Your calls and thoughts welcome about this or whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Hour 3 coming up next.
Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
This is Free Talk Live. Kicking off hour number 3, you can join us by calling in toll-free 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And did you hear about Facebook's newest bug that wound up causing about 14 million users to wind up having public post instead of, well, they thought it was set to either friends or friends of friends or maybe friends except for acquaintances. We'll jump into that. And like I said, your calls and thoughts welcome about whatever is on your mind. We've got Walter calling in from Iowa. Walter, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi. In Iowa, for the first time ever, a couple days ago, they had a Libertarian primary.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I actually know the Libertarian guy that wound up getting the nomination there, Jake Porter.
Yeah, it was really cool because there's usually never any media coverage about Libertarians, and Des Moines Register even actually endorsed him as their Libertarian candidate for the primary. And it was just a cool experience to see candidates on the news, and it was just a cool thing.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on this process? And what exactly are the rules there in Iowa? Because I know that some states have what's referred to as an open primary. Some states have a closed primary. Some states like New Hampshire, where we're broadcasting from, we have this thing that's called a semi-open primary, to where undeclared voters can take a ballot. But if you're registered as a Republican, you can't get a ballot from a different party. So what's the rules there in Iowa?
You have to register. You had to be a registered Libertarian. I think about 1,500 people voted in the Libertarian primary. More than the Democrats. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot. It was just primaries. There wasn't a whole lot going on.
Right. Right. Voter turnout's generally not that big during primaries anyway. I think I read something because California had primaries the same day, and they've got a slightly different process. But I had read that it was the lowest primary turnout since they wound up adopting the top two system.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more than I thought it would be. It's a big step in the right direction, especially for a state like Iowa.
Yeah.
It's pretty much shunned third parties as long as I can remember.
Oh, most states do. Most states do, Walter.
But, yeah, I mean, but now to continue on, to get on the debates on Iowa Public Television, going to have to raise $50,000.
Yeah.
So definitely stacked against them going forward, but.
Yeah.
It's tough, and that's the system we have, unfortunately. It is very much geared to money and geared to advertising, because you know that's what the Democrat and the Republican are going to do. You know, they're going to throw out that kind of money.
Yeah, and I recall 2 years ago when we had gubernatorial – New Hampshire has gubernatorial election every 2 years, but 2 years ago gubernatorial candidate was polling about 4.5-5%. So what did the TV stations wind up doing? They set the threshold at 10% for getting included in the debates, because the only two people that polled over 10 were the Republicans and the Democrats, well, even though to stay on the ballot, the candidate only needed 4%. So they just wound up setting this super high threshold that they knew only the R's and D's would wind up having.
Yeah, and then that should give people a reason to look at the Libertarian Party and Libertarian candidates, not just Libertarians, but any other candidates that are outside of the major two-party systems. What are they afraid of? Why not let some other ideas into debates? If you're convinced that your Republican or Democrat point of view is absolutely correct, then you should welcome the opportunity to prove that to a whole new group of people. You know, let a Libertarian on there, let a Green candidate on there, and just demonstrate how superior your ideas are.
Any final thoughts there, Walter?
Yeah, I feel like the Libertarian Party, they should have done more. Like, they only ran, the governor was pretty much the only thing. They didn't really try to push a bunch of candidates. They, you know, like, for Secretary of State, they didn't. It wasn't the best organized, I thought, but it's definitely a step.
I think we need to get more organized people to join the Libertarian Party, because there's a lot of dead weight in the party, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, and you have...
Well, I mean, I tried to get involved, but if you don't 100% agree, they don't really want your help. They don't really...
Those people need to start, like, a Libertarian book club, not being a Libertarian Party. Like...
Well, and like, that's not been my experience with the party at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been in the party since 2014. I've been to the last two national conventions.
Are you still a party member?
I don't. I'm a national party member. I don't think I'm a state party member. Like, I attended this year's New Hampshire convention, but only because I was offered a free ticket because someone else couldn't go. But
so you're a cheapskate.
No, it's just saying. Like, you know.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Like, I feel like state to state, the Libertarian parties definitely differ in terms of, like, the types of Libertarians.
Right.
Well, state to state, the Republican and Democratic parties differ as well. So, you know, like a New England Republican is probably not going to be a California Republican. Yeah. A Democrat in Alabama would be a Republican in New Hampshire.
In my personal opinion, there's just a lot of dead weight, and there's a lot of people that aren't as intent on actually getting elected. It's more like they think less strategy and all, like, oh, I just want to say my ideas into a microphone, as opposed to actually, like, you know, doing as much listening as they do talking to constituents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's just a lot of very ego driven people, and those people tend probably not to get elected just because they don't have the people skills it takes to, you know what I mean? Like, appeal to people that disagree. And that's the facts are, is the Libertarian Party, like, is a minority in terms of the grand scheme of things. I mean, there's less Libertarians, so the majority of people we interact with we're going to have to win over, and you can't do that when you're just yelling your ideas in their face.
Well, it's debatable whether Libertarians are truly a minority, because study after study and poll after poll,
constantly. I should say Libertarians. I should say book club type people I'm referring
to. Well, I'll refer to Big L Libertarians as people that belong to the Libertarian Party, but more people hold Libertarian views than they do hard right or hard left views. And I think a great example of that is the success that people within the Free State Project have had here in New Hampshire running as Republicans or running as Democrats. And they're not... I hate to break it to the haters out there. They're not sitting there and lying to people's face. They just say where they are on particular issues. And frequently those issues resonate with people. I'm a big believer in the message of libertarianism. I think that's what it's all about.
I think it's too conflicted with, like, anarchism, though. I think libertarianism and anarchism, two totally different concepts.
I don't think anybody...
If you're a libertarian,
I don't think anybody hears that except in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
because we've got, you know, people that are more voluntarist and things like that. I don't think it's never a topic. I don't think that comes up anywhere really else. What we talk about here, which I think is the most encompassing generally to me, is just very, very, very small government.
There's some creepy people in the Libertarian Party too. Like a lot of these, like a lot of these creepy people. Like,
pick a party and I'll show you a creep.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some people with some issues. It's just like they just want their creepiness to be legalized. And
yeah,
I feel like those people need to be like ostracized or like kicked out or something.
And that's up to you. You
Walter,
can ostracize anyone you wish. Hey,
thanks for
Walter.
The call, Walter. Yeah. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Now, to go back to his point about the debates, one thing that I find interesting is the Republican and Democratic parties, they have no problem with debates that have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 candidates, as long as it's their candidates.
Well, sure.
Because remember, heading into the 2016 election cycle, there were several debates before the Republican primaries that had 10 and 11 candidates.
Man, to break it up into two.
But when it comes to the general election, if we have more than two people on stage, people just get confused. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get into the news story about the Facebook bug here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about a website that you can go to that will give you all kinds of news about the cryptocurrency world. It's news.bitcoin.com. One of the headlines from just a couple of hours ago, BTC City, Slovenia's largest shopping center to become a quote-unquote genuine Bitcoin city. You can read about the BTC City as well as a bunch of other cryptocurrency-related headlines such as Fidelity hinting at entering the cryptocurrency exchange space. Yeah, I don't think I want anything to do with that, but you can read the news article, news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com. Story from Bleeping Computer. Facebook just can't get it together as we learn about another major privacy breach on their platform. This time it was caused by an internal bug that caused any new post created by 14 million Facebook users to be posted publicly rather than using their default settings. When posting on Facebook, users have the ability to specify who can see their post by using a drop-down menu where they can select Public, Friends, Friends and Connections, or what I like to use is Friends except for Acquaintances. And Acquaintance is a list that you can create, and people that gripe about, Daryl, I don't want to see all of the political posts that you make. All right, you're still my friend, but I'm putting you on this select list, and then you don't see my political stuff or, well, really anything, because my default is Friends except Acquaintances. Continuing on here from the article at Bleeping Post, the drop-down menu is called the Audience Selector and will retain the setting that you previously used for new post going forward. According to CNN, between May 18th and May 22nd, a bug caused around 14 million people to have their default sharing setting set to public for any new Facebook post that they created. This means any post they made could be read by anyone regardless of their default setting. Facebook told Bleeping Computer, quote, "The error occurred while we were building a new way to share featured items on your profile, like photos. Since these featured items are public, we inadvertently made the suggested audience for all posts, not just new items, public." After the bug was detected, Facebook engineers spent an additional 5 days resetting any new post made by these users to the default setting they had previously been using. Aaron Egan, Facebook's chief privacy officer, said, "We recently found a bug that automatically suggested posting publicly when someone was creating their Facebook post. We have fixed this issue, and starting today, we are letting everyone affected know and asking them to review any posts they made during that time. To be clear, this bug did not impact anything people had posted before, and they could still choose their audience just as they have always been able to do." So, Chris, Heather, what are your thoughts here on a Facebook bug making everything public by default?
Well, it definitely affects how I rarely post to Facebook. I post to Twitter, and then it sort of cross-posts from there. But I've always had Facebook set up to do... I actually use the restricted group. If you're my friend, then you see my stuff. Yep. But if you're just an acquaintance, you go into the restricted group. Yep. So you can see all my profile pictures.
Like 99% of my stuff on Facebook's already public, so...
So you just don't care.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just an open book. Look at my life.
I just don't want to deal with all the trolls that I don't know.
Right.
Which is why I don't post publicly.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't get trolls too often. Every now and again I do, and I just block them.
Right.
They
right,
come
right,
back,
right.
Block them too.
I just try to be very selective, and I've been on Facebook, I think, since 2007, 2009. Whenever they opened it up outside of universities, that's when I got Facebook.
Around like 08, 09.
Right, right, right. So I've had 2,000 Facebook friends, and I've, whittled it down to like 300, and now I think I'm back up around 600 or 700 or something like that. So, and most of them are not truly friends,
right.
I mean, they're
basically acquaintances.
Right, and sometimes not even that. They're friends of friends, and they look interesting, so I do that, and I don't know. I think it's good when these things occur because it does re-emphasize to everyone that don't trust Facebook. Your right. privacy is your responsibility. Don't complain when, some picture you took that you don't think you look good in gets out and somebody makes fun of it.
Right. And one thing that, and not directly related to this specific instance here, but one thing that has been, as I've read the reports, of concern to Facebook is that fewer people are actually posting on their own timelines and instead using the group feature more. And I've noticed that that's something over the last few months that I've been doing more, to where I'll just interact in groups and every now and then I'll share something on my own timeline.
Right, right. I like I said, I really don't. I share stuff on Twitter, so some stuff comes over, but I don't post nearly as much as I used to.
Yeah, and there are a few things that I'll use Hootsuite for to post to both Facebook and Twitter, but for the most part, they're two distinct platforms for me.
Right, right. And I just think, people need to just to reemphasize that you cannot trust Facebook to look out for your best interests, and they're right. not ever, always going to follow what you believe the correct level of privacy is. So periodically,
there's no social network, not even these things that are supposedly decentralized and placed on a blockchain or blah, da, 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 da. They don't care about you. They don't care about your privacy.
They care about you as much as they can market off of you, which is, when you don't pay anything for a service, that means you're the product. So they're using you for your advertising. They're advertising to you. So I don't know, just, be careful, understand what those privacy settings do. That's important. It's important stuff. It's like trusting, sheer blinds at your house to keep peeping Toms away. It yeah. makes no sense.
Yeah. And one thing that I've noticed, to sort of divert here before getting back to the article, Chris, neither you or I are originally from New England. Have you noticed how many people don't use curtains?
No. Well, where I live, I don't have any neighbors, so there's no one really to see, and we do.
Right, but you drive around Keene a little bit, going from your shop to here and
not
back
really.
To, like, the state road.
Yeah, I get it. Not really through residential areas. So.
The next time you happen to drive through a residential area... Just pay attention to how few houses have curtains.
Really? Just people... Heather, do you have curtains in your house? I'm assuming.
Yeah, but they're always open.
They're always open. Interesting. So is that a New England thing or is that a New Hampshire thing?
I don't know. I think it's just like... I grew up in a town where there really weren't that many like crazy people, I guess. I guess if you lived in like a high crime area or something, you'd probably be more like, worried about that kind of stuff, but I grew up on the Cape,
Right, right, right.
Everyone's lawns were immaculate, all the neighbors knew each other, like, it was really nice.
And if you don't have blinds, some of your neighbors know you better than you think.
Probably.
There's more on this article about the Facebook bug, plus your calls and thoughts. Welcome, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio tonight, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And if you like the show, then, well, consider joining the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and you can join the AMP program for as little as $3 per month, and you get access to, or actually, no, I'm sorry, $5 per month. I don't know why I keep thinking it's three. Maybe at one time it was three, maybe. And then inflation, $5. But, you know, just, it's not a lot. It's the, you know, cost of like a burger or a coffee or something, and you wind up getting perks like access to, isn't there a AMP-only thing in the Discord?
There is.
There's absolutely. An AMP-only group on the Facebook.
And on Telegram.
And on the Telegram. And there's AMP-only podcast that doesn't have commercials in it. And I think there's probably some other perks that I'm not even remembering. AMP.freetalklive.com. That's A-M-P, AMP.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the Skype, and then we'll get to the Discord after the Skype, because it's on the same thing on the board here. First to David calling in on Skype. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about, you made reference to the person who had invented dynamite and had some bad feelings about how what was supposed to be a helpful invention turned out to be a tool for war.
Yes, no, Alfred Nobel.
Yeah, excuse me, and won a or started the Nobel Prize program. My cousin won a Nobel Prize in a similar situation in physics for being the first person to split the atom by the machinery he invented was the cyclotron, which is the atom smasher or particle accelerator or collider, like the Hadron Super Collider.
Right.
He invented the first one of those. And then that piece of equipment, along with some other equipment that he invented and built, were used to refine all of the nuclear material that they were making at Oak Ridge that went into all of the first bombs. And consequently, the University of California at Livermore named their national lab there after him, Ernest Orlando Lawrence. They named it Lawrence Livermore. And I don't know what his feelings were. I know those scientists, generally speaking. Also, one more piece of trivia is Lawrence was responsible. He was the one that was responsible for General Groves hiring Oppenheimer to run the Manhattan Project at Los Alamos, because he had made a recommendation that Groves hire Oppenheimer, and he did. But I don't know how. I know the nuclear scientists, they you know, they're excited about what they're doing, but they all had some reservations,
right,
about how their inventions were used. And I don't know how Lawrence himself felt about it, but I know that his wife, after his death, his wife lobbied to attempt to get his name taken off of Lawrence Livermore lab because right. it was a weapons lab, and she didn't feel right about her family name being on a weapons lab, and she tried to get it taken off, and I don't know what the outcome of what that was. I know that more and more, instead of Lawrence Livermore being always referred to as Lawrence Livermore, they often now refer to it as Livermore Lab and dropping the Lawrence. So I don't know if that was a result of her attempts or not. But anyhow,
well, a lot of times things named after somebody where it originally has the full name, they just eventually refer to it only with the last name.
Yeah, but there were a lot of scientists involved in the Manhattan Project and in nuclear armaments throughout the years that had changes of heart.
Right.
Because, face it, I mean, it's not like the guy developed a new flavor of Twinkie. This
like
is something that wiped
invention.
Out thousands of people.
You know, it's like the whole gun debate, you know? It's like guns to a lot of people are just like a cool, like, tool, you know what I mean? But then it's like there's people that go out there and use them for horrible things. And...
Right, but there are not many people that ever debated using a nuclear weapon for something just cool.
Let's use nukes for hunting.
Hey, there we go.
Well, I guess nukes, I don't know if there's any type of purpose, like, non... Weaponized
there is.
Purpose.
There is.
What's
there
that?
There is. Let me tell you. His brother John, Ernest Orlando Lawrence, his brother John was an MD and did use, had access to the radioactive isotopes that were created by the cyclotron equipment that Lawrence had created. And so out of that whole atomic thing came nuclear medicine.
But they're not dropping a nuclear bomb on a cancer patient. They're using the radioactive
but
material.
But let's say there was in space some like meteor or something that was going to come hit us, and you that were to put this nuke on the bomb and like blow it up outside of the Earth's atmosphere before it had impact, then there's a use for it that doesn't involve killing people. It involves saving people.
Well, and that's also making the assumption that we cannot get in touch with any of the drillers from Armageddon, right?
We can't
get Bruce Willis to go drill and save us. You never saw Armageddon?
No.
Come on.
I don't watch all your corny movies.
Corny movies? That had Liv Tyler in it.
David, thank you
for
the call.
Yeah,
let's
go to
the Discord where we've got Schmidt calling in. Am I pronouncing that right?
What'd you say?
I said, is it Schmidt? Is that how this is supposed to be pronounced?
Yeah, Schmidt.
Yep, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Folks have talked a little bit about the Arab Andy bomb scare in Washington State.
We did.
On the UW campus.
Yep, we did briefly. What night was that? I think we talked about that on...
It was a couple nights ago.
Sunday night or...
I was not here on Sunday.
It escalated to the Supreme Court level.
Hold on, say that again?
I've heard talks that it might escalate to the state Supreme Court level.
I don't know. So basically the story is this... I guess he's a video blogger.
A YouTube live streamer, yep.
Yeah. So he went to a university... And he basically would monetize, people would give him money and he would play whatever audio or whatever they had recorded, or he had a speech to text or something. They choose what to play. So this guy, Arab Andy, who's of Middle Eastern ancestry, goes into a college, and whatever somebody had paid him to say was something to the effect of the C4 is ready to go. It will detonate in 10, 9, 8, 7, or something to that effect. So, of course, he gets sort of bum rushed by the cops, and he's sitting there going, this is just, it's a joke. I mean, it's all sort of a thing.
But do you think he should be held liable for someone else's song request? Because,
well, yeah.
I think he went and said that, like a
he did.
Dummy.
That's the whole thing.
Like, he's going to be held responsible for his actions. Do I think he's going to go away forever? No. But I think, like, you know what? It's his own fault regardless.
But they
like,
do have, so there is stupid. That side that says put this guy away for life, because they are saying that what he did was terroristic threats, even though it wasn't him doing it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting case. I wouldn't just immediately assume a side, because it's a little complex. Because does that mean any news media could be, you know, responsible? Or we're a call-in show. What if somebody says something crazy? It gets out over the air.
Say that, Schmeet.
No, what
yeah, he started dropping racial slurs. You can't do that. Sorry.
But anyway, so I still think that, like, the guy's pretty stupid for going into a college and saying that.
I agree, too. Well, the way it was all set up, he had no immediate control over what he
and
did.
I don't blame anybody for bum-rushing him, either.
Right.
Like, I would have done the same thing.
And I also don't disagree that he should make retribution, because that's going to cost the taxpayers there for sending out SWAT teams and all the other expenses that probably go along with a deployment to take somebody down. So
agreed.
I'm not opposed to that.
Your calls and thoughts. Welcome about whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Possibly time for you and your thoughts if you call in now, where you can join us on the airwaves. The us being Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And want to remind you about how important a good night's sleep is. And when it comes down to it, it's not about how much time you spend in bed. It's about the quality of the sleep, not the quantity. And the MyPillow is designed to help you get a good night's sleep. And with a 60-day money-back guarantee, you really have nothing to lose. Go to MyPillow.com, and you get two MyPillow premium pillows for one low price, and you get free shipping on all orders when you use promo code FTL, as in Free Talk Live. And remember, if for some reason you don't like your MyPillow within the first 60 days, you can return it for a full refund. That's MyPillow.com, code FTL. MyPillow.com, code FTL. Let's go to the phones, where we've got Jerome calling in from New York. He's watching us on the Twitch. Jerome, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hello.
Yep. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Sorry, you hear me? Sorry about that. Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Arab Andy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
From the previous call, you probably heard about that, and then he started dropping the N-bomb.
Yes.
You know.
So go ahead with your thoughts.
Me off.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, we got another one.
You can't do that. And I should have known as soon as it said Twitch that we were going to have a troll because trolls live on Twitch as well.
Well, you know.
Although I shouldn't really be surprised because it is the internet.
Yeah, and people do like to act out sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't. We just like to talk to interesting people and have interesting conversations.
And speaking of interesting people and somebody that I know is not going to wind up saying naughty words, Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hold on. Are we being saved by Sarah?
We are being saved by Sarah.
Sarah, thank you so much for calling.
Well, yes, no naughty words out of my mouth.
I know.
I know. You're a good girl.
We appreciate that.
Well, you know, if I did the computer, whatever, that room that you guys were talking about, maybe I'd be, you know, using foul language, too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why we stay out of there, right, Sarah?
Well, I have no internet. I have no internet for this, so, you know.
That keeps her out.
But I just want to mention that in America, suicides have been going up.
I read that.
Like, the only state that is the same is like Nevada, never increased. But like northern states, like South Dakota, it jumped like 48%.
Yeah, it's a nationwide trend. It said the U.S. CDC said that the U.S. suicide rate has increased something like 25% since 1999, which is really high. And it's really sad.
Yeah.
Has the population increased by 25%?
Yeah, taken into that
this
too.
Is based on you know, per capita rate of population.
Yeah, per capita. But you know something, I could see the real reason behind it. Like what I had brought up is that our retirement is gone. And then it was announced that Medicaid and Social Security is going to become insolvent by 2024.
Well, insolvent
really means is that it's going to be gone in 2024.
Does it show like what the ages are like of people committing suicide relatively?
Well, we've had different subgroups. Like, so first of all, veterans have been horribly hit by suicide. That's been a big deal. But this just seems to be an overall trend across the board. And I haven't read up on all this, so I can't really state the source of the statistics. I don't disagree that a lot of it is economic, because the Federal Reserve has been doing a number on us since the 80s, like a serious number.
The CDC actually does have some statistics here.
I prefer my conjecture, but let's listen to them.
So they have here, and again, I just did pull these up, and it's a bunch of charts. Differences exist among those with and without mental health conditions. People without known mental health conditions were more likely to be male and die by firearm. 16% of those who committed suicide with no known mental health conditions, 16% were female. And of the method, 55% of all suicides, those without known mental health conditions, 55% were by firearm, 10% were by poisoning, 27% by suffocation. The remainder were other means. For those with known mental health conditions, 20% were done by some form of poisoning, 31% suffocation, 41% firearm, and again, 8% other means. And they also have a chart showing some of the factors leading up to or contributing to the suicide. And I'm guessing these are based on various suicide notes that people left. 42% were due to relationship problems. 29% were due to a crisis in the past or upcoming 2 weeks. 22% were due to physical health problems. 9% were due to criminal legal problems. So people like Aaron Schwartz, who was going to wind up going to prison for the rest of his life. 4% were due to loss of housing. Job and financial accounts for, according to the CDC, accounts for 16%.
And maybe that means substance they knew abuse something problems, about Hillary Clinton.
28% were because of substance abuse problems.
Was that like the joke there, that if you know something about Hillary Clinton,
your odds of suicide are going way, way up?
Yeah, and isn't that generally you stabbed yourself with a spoon like 29 times and then they didn't even find a spoon anywhere near your body?
Yeah, whenever I hear those statistics, I wonder like how many of those were really murders that like...
And they were just clever. Go ahead.
Well, we're just killing ourselves now, right now, because what we earn and what we have to pay is a difference. It's harder for us to live, so everybody's stressed out. But when they take Social Security and when our retirement is completely gone and it hits the fan, we're going to start shooting. I mean, shooting the government, and we're going to be out rioting. It's not going to be killing ourselves at that time.
I'm okay with rioting. Daryl, but the chief causes that you listed coming from the CDC, financial was not at the top of the list.
Correct. Financial was not at the top of the list. It was actually third from the bottom.
Yeah.
What
financial,
was the top one?
Relationship problem was top at 42%. Mm. Substance abuse and other crisis in the past 2 or upcoming 2 weeks, 28 and 29%.
That's
health
sad.
Was 22%. Job and financial was 16.
Yeah, problem.
But you know what? They won't take back our Social Security because they've already announced it like 50 times. I've been hearing it over and over, and Medicaid's going to end. And our Social Security only started in the 1931. People think that we had it for thousands of years. No, it just started in 1931 after the Great Depression. So the capitalists could take it back, and they will take it back, and they're asking for a civil war.
Do you know how many years of that it actually made fiscal sense? How many years it was solvent? How many years enough money came in to pay for the people that were going to receive payments from Social Security? Do you know that trivia question?
Well, you know what?
Guess how many years? I mean, was it 1 year, 10 years, 50 years before it became insolvent?
Wait a minute. It started in 1931.
Right.
People are still getting Social Security, right? So it's solvent until now.
No.
When it ends in 2024, it's going to be gone.
Well, it's not solvent. It's being paid for by current employees. It was a trick question because it's never been able to stand on its own. It's never been a self-funded thing, which they said it was going to be. So I understand that. And I don't think that's
why people are killing themselves, though.
No, but I think people feel ripped off when they keep getting sold a bill of goods by our government. And if you've been told your entire life that, hey, when you get older, you'll have Social Security to fall back on. You know, people get notices, you know, from the IRS saying, look, you know, based on today, if you were to retire at the age of X, then you'll get this amount of money.
But I think that,
and then they find out they don't get it.
And I think the other problem, too, though, is that there's so many people that probably avoid seeking out mental help just because there's such a stigma associated with it.
There is.
But I don't get why, because like the way I look at it is like, if you think of like your mental health the same way you think of your physical health, right? Like seeing a therapist is like seeing a personal trainer for your mind. Like if you go to a good one, you can come out and like be the CEO of a business in a month, for crying out loud.
You could.
Like these people, there shouldn't be that stigma of going to get help and making yourself a better person.
I don't disagree, Sarah, but there is, you know.
Sarah, thank you for the call. We're out of time for tonight, but we'll be back tomorrow as we are every night and always online at freetalklive.com.
This November, I'll be running the world's biggest and most popular marathon, the New York City Marathon, as a member of Team Innocence Project. The Innocence Project was the first legal organization to systematically apply DNA testing to cases of wrongful convictions as a powerful tool to reveal innocence. Tony Wright is a perfect example of the power of DNA. The Innocence Project litigated for almost 6 years to get the court's permission for DNA testing. Tony had been incarcerated for nearly 25 years in Pennsylvania and narrowly escaped the death penalty. Tony's case, sadly, is not unique. Empowered with the unequivocal proof of innocence provided by DNA technology, the Innocence Project has litigated hundreds of wrongful conviction cases, leading to the exoneration and freedom for more than 180 people through DNA testing. Overall, there have been 356 DNA exonerees in the United States who were wrongfully imprisoned for more than 4,875 years in total. You can help support the Innocence Project and help me secure my race entry in the New York City Marathon by going to run.freetalklive.com.